Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.
This is Jim Caviezel, and you're listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. James Dobson, and I'm really happy that you've joined us today because you've tuned into a very exciting broadcast, particularly on this occasion. And you won't hear what you're going to hear here anywhere else. But here's a little teaser of where we're going, and we're going to be talking about this subject on this edition of Family Talk. Let's hear the teaser.
I, Luke, send a message to all those that follow our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a terrible evil in the world. Darkness is spreading. I know you are suffering persecution. Faith is being tested. I know you question the way. But I've come to Rome to find Paul, to write his story, to bring hope, to bring light into this present darkness, and to remind us all how God changed a hateful man who will change the history of the world.
Well, that was just a snippet from the trailer for the new exciting biblical epic, Paul, Apostle of Christ. You may recognize the voice from that trailer as actor Jim Caviezel. His most notable role was as Jesus in Mel Gibson's incredibly moving and very popular film, The Passion of the Christ, which has been seen now by millions and millions of people. Jim has also starred in other films that did not have a Christian theme, Wyatt Earp, The Thin Red Line, The Count of Monte Cristo, and on the TV show Person of Interest. Some people may not be aware that Jim is a very outspoken and unapologetic Catholic who has spoken on countless occasions about his faith and how it's molded his career. Now, to bring it up to today, a few weeks ago, our announcer, Roger Marsh, was able to catch up with Jim at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention to discuss the new film, Paul, Apostle of Christ. I want you to listen today to that conversation on Family Talk. I think you're going to enjoy it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, filling in for Dr. Dobson today. Here in Nashville, Tennessee, at the Proclaim 2018 NRB Conference, with me is a very special guest, TV and film actor Jim Caviezel. Jim, welcome to the program.
Hello, Roger.
What an exciting time for you with this new project, Paul, Apostle of Christ, which I should point out going into this, you're not playing Paul, but you play a very pivotal role in this movie. I mean, it's really, we get to see it through your eyes.
That's correct. The movie takes place at the last few weeks of Paul's life, and it's during the massacre of Christians from Nero, and I go to the Mamertine prison to try to get Paul's message of hope to the Christians.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautifully done movie, and in terms of giving us an opportunity, many people have walked where Jesus walked and seen, you know, places that are biblical history, but what you're doing in this film really gives us some context in terms of Priscilla and Aquila and all the relationships, Christians in hiding, that sort of thing.
That's correct. You've seen this the film already?
I have.
They're showing it tomorrow when it's just a whole nother world when you see it finished.
Okay. I saw an unfinished screener, so.
The husband and wife team in there, and when we went to make this, I thought that was an interesting thing where, you know, at some point I turned to Paul and I asked him, you know, I know that you were alone in the praetorium when they beat you. Where were our other guys? Where were our leaders? Mm-hmm. Where are our guys that are supposed to be doing their job? Why is a husband and wife team doing this? You know, where are our leaders? And I always, when I do a film like this, especially scripture, how does it relate to now? Because the word is something that is not just a history book, but a book that when you read it, you go, wow, I need to change. I need to get my life in order now, because it can bypass your brain and hit your heart. And if we can have people leave the theater with their hearts burning, then we did our job.
Mm, I love that imagery of the burning heart, especially when you consider that we're in a media-driven culture that has lots of access to Bible truths, Bible histories, things of that nature, and yet the passion doesn't. I was missing that. I mean, in our culture, as I finished watching the movie Paul, Apostle of Christ, the idea that these are people who are willing to live and die for their faith, but yeah. they lived in that hope and that confidence.
Yes, they did, and we need. Look no further than now, when you see what ISIS has done to Christians. Some of the special forces that gave me pictures this last year on Good Friday, literally mm-hmm. Christians that were executed by crucifixion on Good Friday, just blew my mind. And even in this country now, with abortion and the travesty of over 55, 60 million dead children, over one-fifth our population, and stand by and we've done nothing. I think that's the biggest sin, is the indifference. And I wanted to point that out in this film, that our Lord is very, very clear on what he thinks of indifference.
When you're presented an opportunity like this, obviously you have a history of doing movies that have, you know, that leave a mark. And we yeah. think about The Passion of the Christ, of course, as the landmark of that. Here comes another Bible-based project, and people are going to look at this. The narrative is really beautiful in terms of taking, you know, Paul's life and putting it into real terms, as opposed to just, you know, let's read chapter and verse through it. When you're presented with a project like this, what's the first thought that you have?
That it's real, that it, the person that watches, what's conveyed to them, that this is them. Mm-hmm. I sit there, and when I'm thinking about the character, I always think of it in the viewpoint of what I'm going to see when I'm sitting in a theater, as mm-hmm. if I'm in a game, and what, think of the same thing in basketball. Right. If I were a coach, what would I be seeing? Not just from the perspective of the player, but from outside and seeing all 10 players and seeing what they're doing. And then historical purposes. Why does this Bible not get extinguished in the face of the earth? There have been many, many totalitarian systems that could have done it, but love wins out. Love conquers all. In this film, the greatest controversy is forgiveness, that forgiveness is not weak, it is not passive, it is meeting evil face to face with love.
Let's talk a bit about the relationship between Luke and Paul.
Yes.
There's a good opportunity for us to see both of these guys in a whole different light, but there's that friendship. Oftentimes, I think of the book of Acts of the Apostles as Luke was transcribing and telling the story almost after the fact, as opposed to actually living it, which of course he did. Talk about the relationship and what the church can learn from them. Yeah.
I should say what I could learn. Look, I almost didn't do this film. I mean, David Zeilon came to me, and my mentor of 21 years, Frank Stewart, had cancer. We went to Auschwitz together. Mm. And I think that is what led me into doing this film. I saw what happened to all these martyrs. I mean, 3 million people in this particular prison alone were annihilated. And you can feel the haunting of these souls that passed. And while the world stood around and did nothing. And that still goes on. So I thought of it there, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not a theologian, but that's an experience I can't. It was a blessing. My friend who was dying, we came home. I saw him for the last time, say goodbye, and he went to the hospital and he passed away. And then Zeilon came to me with this movie, and I was available at the time and was going to do something else. And he went somewhere else with it, and he came back and said, do you want to take a look at it? And I read it, and I thought, okay, my mentor died, and Luke has a mentor in Paul. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I kind of went from that. And then I went looking at it and say, well, what I didn't know was that I always thought Luke was a Christian, and mm-hmm. he was a Greek pagan. And I was reading what Andrew Hyatt wrote. He says, you know, I never saw Christ, but when I heard you preach, I saw Christ in you, and that reminded me of Billy Graham, who just passed on. And I've heard a few people like Dr. James Dobson, a few people that really touched me over the years, and then that kind of all of those people like John Wooden, and that I said those will probably be the face of Christ when I, you know, play it. That's all I know who Jesus is just people who loved me despite my deficiencies, that look past him And that led me to my conversion. And then from that point on, I just try to keep it simple. Mm-hmm. The Vince Lombardi method.
This is a football.
And I absolutely am stupid at times. My wife will tell you that. But, you know, I'm able to keep getting up and going. And I just know good storytelling, you know. And then I rely on, you know, guys like you that, you know the Bible better than I do. And I just kind of say, you know, what can we do? And to make it in a way that the audience doesn't get ahead of the story, you know, can we find humor in these guys? Can we, you know, make them real? Luckily we got Faulkner, and I thought, well, we have a chance.
Yeah, the stellar cast also includes Jim Caviezel playing Luke in Paul, an Apostle of Christ, which is in theaters on March the 23rd. This is, obviously, you have this iconic brand in the market now because of your portrayal of Jesus Christ, which was, you literally left everything, you know, out there in terms of, you know, physical suffering and challenges even afterwards in terms of surgeries and things of that nature. I wondered personally, you know, how do you top that? I mean, in the role, this was the first time to come back in. It really spoke to you then to say, okay, I'm going to do a biblically based movie once again.
I never said, hey, find me a, you know, it's not like you say, you know, I haven't had a banana in a while. Give me a banana or something. I just went with the best fruit that was available. And this one hit me hard, and it spoke to me, you know. I thought I could do something with it. The Passion of the Christ, well, nobody had ever done what he did. Nobody had ever taken three dead languages and put it in a film and shot it. And I knew that it would do what it did because he wasn't changing anything scripturally. Like, in the same thing with this, the acting is strong, but the words are still stronger. Mm-hmm. We don't need to turn the burning bush into a little boy here. You know, 2 and 2 is not 5. It is 4, and that's what we're going to do. So there's a lot of common sense there that, and Jesus spoke in parables that it confounded the wise. I like that guy.
Yeah, definitely.
I should say I love that guy.
Yes, don't we all? I'm Roger Marsh here in Nashville at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, in for Dr. James Dobson on Family Talk today. My guest is Jim Caviezel, who plays Luke in the new movie Paul, Apostle of Christ, which is in theaters the 23rd of March, just in time for Holy Week, just a very, very special time. There's a sense of purpose that you have, not that other actors don't have it, but there's really a sense of purpose, whether it's your television work, Person of Interest, which I've become a Netflix fan of and really enjoy, that sense of, you know, morality, right and wrong, decency. And yet the hero has, you know, a bit of a, you know, a stained past, as we all do. Where did that come from for you? Who instilled that into your heart? Parents, grandparents?
I think my dad a lot. Watched a lot of John Wayne movies growing up. Mm-hmm. I watched a lot of Jimmy Stewart growing up. In fact, I met him. I was a waiter at a party. It was at Jerry Weintraub's house, and President Bush was there, and senior. And we were told if we talked to any of the celebrities, they'd fire us on the spot. And you know, the Secret Service was everywhere. And I was like, okay. I was, you know, getting people drinks, and I saw Jimmy Stewart walk by, and I had to go talk to him. And so I went up and said to him, oh, Mr. Stewart, can I, you know, get you something to drink? And then I came back and I said, you know, I applied to the U.S. Naval Academy 3 times and I didn't get in, but I was shot at West Point, and I know you were in the military. I know you flew over Germany. And he just looked at me, you know, I was 22 year old kid, just or a young man being able to recall his entire career. And he just, I think it was at the end when he said, you know, young man, you make good movies, you know. Mm-hmm. I told him I was trying to make the acting thing, and it probably wouldn't happen. And while I was talking to him, the head waiter said, you're gone.
Yeah.
But as I was walking away, he says, young man, you make good movies. And then I saw him a couple more times. I visited him at his house one time. He was just the sweetest man from Indiana, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. But It's a Wonderful Life was a film that is timeless. I could watch it any time of year. It doesn't have to just be Christmas. Mm-hmm. But the fact that that we have a purpose, that God has, there is meaning there, and that, you know, I look no further than the Passion of Christ, how many people that wrote letters to me that changed a life, millions, millions and millions of people. And if it wasn't for the people that believed in me along the way, as I referred to, and people that lived Christ in their lives, I dare say I would ever been able to do it. So we're all interconnected in some way.
When you talk about that passion that you have for your filmmaking, your art, willing to take a risk and lose a job by talking to an actor who had a big influence on you, let's talk about your personal life and your family now, you know, as a husband, as a father, knowing what the culture is going through, and realizing, too, that your kids have dad who was Jesus, basically, in the movies, and is Mr. Reese on TV, and now is going to be the Luke character in The Apostle Paul. When you think about your kids and the culture that we're in right now, what's the first thing that comes to mind in terms of how your art is influencing them and their generation?
Well, I'm not aware of all of it, but I'll tell you this much, because in my industry, on my side, I don't hear any of that. You know, we don't, you know, you're not looked at as a good thing there after doing that film. You lost many roles after doing that, even as successful as it was. But I don't believe in being in a pity position either. I felt like, wow, you know, if I never do another thing in my life, I did it. But I wanted to keep doing more, and I felt like there was a lot more there. And certainly after the lightning strike and the heart surgeries, I thought, well, I'm here for a reason now.
That's
so.
For sure. Two open hearts, right?
Yeah, one full on,
okay,
and then one part. But I came out to Liberty University the other day and got up on stage, and I couldn't believe the welcome from those 15,000 students, man. It was one of the nicest welcomes I've ever had, and I'm not aware of that. I don't do it to be liked. I do it because it's the right thing. You come hell or high water, you just do the right thing. I read a lot on Mother Teresa, and she, in her memoirs, she was saying that, you know, she was even worried about her salvation at the end. And I thought, my God, look what you've done, how many you've saved.
Yeah.
And I feel that at times, you know. And I thank God I have people around me that remind me, you know, that I am loved. And that, boy, that felt good.
Mm. I'll bet it did. There are going to be people who are, this movie is a curiosity to them. They're going to see Jim Caviezel and say, oh yeah, I've watched him on television. I've seen some of his other movies before. They have awareness of Passion of the Christ, but they're going to see Paul, an apostle of Christ, and wonder what it's all about. They may not have a faith tradition, but they're drawn just because you know, the star appeal, you know, the cast. Do you think that there's something there for them? I mean, obviously, you know, the Holy Spirit can do his thing, but as an actor, for someone who's coming in and just, you know, watching the movie for the first time, do you think there's something there for them they can take out?
I compare this one, like, not to the Passion, but more to the Count of Monte Cristo.
Okay.
In the film, Edmond Dantès is put into the prison. He gives up on everything. He had this theme in there where he would say, God will give me justice, and then eventually he felt God abandoned him. And as his mentor at the time, the priest, was dying, he says, Dantes, now the final lesson, do not commit the crime you now serve the sentence for, which is revenge. Remember, God saith, vengeance is mine. He says, but I don't believe in God. He says, it doesn't matter. He believes in you. But he believes in all of us. He loves each one of us. And this film is powerful like that in this way. Like, for example, a man that was with me who saw the movie, I had him watch an earlier cut, and the movie ended, and he turned to me and he said, wow, whoever your writer is, he's really good. And I said, why do you say that? He says, well, he's like a philosopher. And I said, that writing is the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've never read that before. A couple days later, he calls me up and says, you know, I might see your Passion of the Christ. I said, that's great. You want me to get a copy? Hey, man, I told you I might. I don't think you've seen it yet, but he might.
Yeah,
it planted a seed.
Yeah.
So what was great about it is, here's a guy that doesn't have any background. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's Norwegian or what, but he has he doesn't have anything in the game. He just was blown away by the philosophy, and it really moved him.
Mm.
And he just thought it was some writer, Andrew Hyatt. You know, I'll give Andrew a lot of credit, but I won't give him credit for writing the Bible.
Well, he had great source material.
He sure did.
Yeah. Well, and a challenge there, too, to put together, you know, you've got Paul actually, you know, wandering through these books, you know, wandering through these verses, wandering through these scenes. It really flows very lyrically.
It does, very lyrically. Yeah. And the thing is, it doesn't pound you over the head. It just kind of, there. Like watching it and saying, "Wow, I've heard that before."
Yeah, it's very satisfying. It's like a satisfying meal where it's still, you know, it's on your palate after you finish, you know, with the food. You're like, that still leaves a good taste in my mouth.
Mm.
That's good for you and good for everybody who's part of this. Now, Mel Gibson has confirmed there will be a sequel to The Passion of the Christ.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And that, are you excited about it? Are you encouraged by? Is it time?
I'm excited about it, and I'm scared.
Really?
By it.
What's your biggest fear?
Oh, it is that thing out there that feels very ominous. Mm-hmm. It felt like The Passion.
Mm.
And but with something like that, it should feel like that. It's terrifying, but I take it one day at a time and then one moment at a time, and the only thing that can help me there is prayer. But those are the moments where I'm happiest, you know. You know, Jesus doesn't spare his best friends from suffering. So there will be plenty there. But at the end of the day, I said, you know, Lord, we brought millions to you. Now let's go for billions.
Mm-hmm. I love that thought. I love that thought. Jim Caviezel, the new movie, Paul, Apostle of Christ, is in theaters March 23rd. Thanks for the time. It's an honor to meet you, sir.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. Great interview, Roger.
Well, this is James Dobson again, and I hope you've enjoyed listening to today's broadcast featuring our own Roger Marsh and actor Jim Caviezel here on Family Talk. If you'd like to learn more about this film or watch the full trailer, go to today's broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. Then click on today's broadcast page. Also, Paul, Apostle of Christ, is in theaters starting today. So go online now and see if it's playing in a theater near you. As I think about the life of Paul, I want to turn your attention to Acts chapter 14. In this portion of Scripture, Paul has just escaped death as he was stoned and dragged out of Lystra. He rose up and went with Barnabas to the city of Derbe, where he preached the gospel and strengthened the disciples. All of that oppression and the pain and the threat did not hamper him from continuing with the work of the Lord. Paul then said in Acts 14:22, "We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God." Many Christians around the world are going through exactly what Paul talked about there, and they're going through many tribulations. That's what he spoke about. With the assault on the family and many trials and hardships against Christians today, it can be overwhelming. This is one of the reasons the ministry of Family Talk exists, to help good people deal with their hardships and difficulties. Now, I realize that we're heading into tax season and families are struggling financially. But if you are able to help this ministry, this would be a good time to do so, because this is a difficult time for us. April is nearly always a time when the funds are a little short for everything we're trying to do. So if you're able to help us, go online to drjamesdobson.org to give securely there. Or if you prefer, you can pledge your support over the phone by calling 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. I'm grateful for your continued assistance and prayers for me and for the rest of this ministry. This is James Dobson, and again, I'm glad that you were with us today. Be sure to join us next week for new episodes of Family Talk, including two exciting interviews that I had with Lee Strobel and also another with researcher and author George Barna. Have a blessed weekend, everyone.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hey everyone, Roger Marsh here. When you think about your family and where they will be when you're no longer living, are you worried? Are you confident? Are you hopeful? What kind of legacy are you leaving for your children and their children? Here at Family Talk, we're committed to helping you understand the legacy that you're leaving for your family. Join us today at drjamesdobson.org for helpful insights, tips, and advice from Dr. James Dobson himself. And remember, your legacy matters.